Welcome back to another episode of the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast. On today's episode, we cover the topic of celiac disease found under the gastrointestinal section at medbullets.com. Let's start off with a clinical snapshot. A 43-year-old man from Ireland presents to the clinic with complaints of diarrhea. He reports he has been having 3 to 5 non-bloody loose stools per day for the last 6 months and reports improvement when he fasts. He denies hematochezia, melena, weight loss, or family history of colon cancer. A physical examination demonstrates blistering skin lesions at the extensor surfaces of the elbow bilaterally. Now for a clinical definition of celiac disease. This is a chronic autoimmune disorder triggered by an environmental agent, gliadin component of gluten, in genetically predisposed individuals. This agent is often found in wheat and other grains such as barley and rye. Celiac disease often develops in childhood, but may develop at any age. With regards to demographics most commonly affected, know that celiac disease occurs primarily in whites of Northern European ancestry. Now for pathogenesis of the condition. Upon exposure to gluten, an abnormal immune response leads to production of several different autoantibodies that affect different organs. This leads to the formation of an immune complex in the intestinal mucosa, primarily at the small intestine. Presence of the immune complex promotes the aggregation of killer lymphocytes, which cause mucosal damage. This leads to the loss of villi lining, known as villous atrophy, and proliferation of crypt cells. Damage of the villi lining leads to dysfunction in nutrient absorption, leading to malabsorption and anemia. In terms of genetics, know that no single associated genetic marker exists. A majority of patients have the variant HLA-DQ2 or HLA-DQ8 allele. These predisposing HLA risk alleles are necessary but not sufficient to develop celiac disease. Associated conditions are other autoimmune conditions like diabetes mellitus type 1. Now let's discuss how a patient with celiac disease presents. In terms of symptoms, they'll complain of steatorrhea, which can lead to fat-soluble vitamin deficiencies, abdominal pain, bloating, flatulence, weight loss or failure to gain weight, fatigue, and some patients are asymptomatic. If the patient is IgA deficient, which is common in celiac patients, these patients are at risk for anaphylaxis if transfused by IgA-containing blood products. On physical exam, you'll note abdominal distension, pallor, mouth ulcers, short stature, and dermatitis herpetiformis. Dermatitis herpetiformis describes a pruritic red papulovesicular lesion commonly on shoulders, elbows, and knees. This is due to IgA deposits, anti-epidermal transglutaminase, in the upper dermis. Now let's discuss our diagnostic approach. Diagnosis of celiac disease is based on clinical symptoms and confirmed with small bowel biopsy. Serological blood tests are our best initial test, and we're looking for anti-tissue transglutaminase, or TTG, IgA antibody. We also look for anti-endomesial IgA antibody, which tests for IgA antibodies, and know that it'll be negative in those with IgA deficiency. And for those patients with IgA deficiency, deamidated gliadin peptide, or DGP, IgG testing is available. Positive serology requires small bowel biopsy for confirmation of diagnosis. An upper endoscopy with small bowel biopsy is the best confirmatory test. At least 4 duodenal biopsies are recommended. Endoscopic features include loss of folds, visible fissures, nodularity, scalloping, and prominent submucosal vascularity. Histologic features include increased intraepithelial lymphocytes and plasma cells, atrophic mucosa with loss of villi, enhanced epithelial apoptosis, and crypt hyperplasia. HLA testing is only useful in ruling out celiac disease. Other helpful laboratory studies include a CBC, iron studies, folic acid level, and a vitamin B12 level to evaluate level of malnutrition and malabsorption. A dual energy X-ray absorptiometry, or DEXA scan, can be helpful in identifying risk of fracture and need for bone protection medication. Differential diagnoses to keep in mind when working up celiac disease include inflammatory bowel disease and irritable bowel syndrome. One main distinguishing factor from inflammatory bowel disease is that inflammatory bowel disease would have different histological appearance on biopsy. Irritable bowel syndrome will also have negative biopsy results. Now for treatment. First-line management includes a gluten-free diet. This allows healing of the intestinal mucosa and resolution of all symptoms. It also eliminates the heightened risk of osteoporosis and intestinal cancer. Dietary supplements also fall under the first-line management category. Second-line treatment options include steroids or immunosuppressants, such as azathioprine. These are considered in patients with refractory disease. Complications associated with celiac disease include iron deficiency anemia, osteoporosis, infertility, neurological problems secondary to malabsorption, and intestinal lymphoma, which is seen in about 10 to 15% of patients. Now that we've hit the main learning points of celiac disease, let's try some practice questions. Question 1. A 27-year-old woman presents to the emergency department with an itchy skin rash. The patient states that she has had it before, but it is worse now after the holidays. The patient has a history of diarrhea and abdominal pain, and her primary care provider has been treating her with fiber supplements and stress management. Physical exam is notable for the finding found in Figure A, which you can see on medbullets.com. For your convenience, I'll let you know that Figure A is the physical exam finding of dermatitis herpetiformis with an erythematous and excoriated rash that has a herpes-like appearance. Laboratory values are ordered as seen below. A hemoglobin of 10 grams per deciliter, hematocrit of 31%, a leukocyte count of 4,500 with a normal differential, platelet count of 192,000, and mean corpuscular volume of 71. Which of the following is most likely to be found on skin biopsy? 1. Acanthosis and a thin granulosum with elongated dermal papillae. 2. Anti-epidermal transglutaminase IgA in the dermis. 3. Collections of Langerhans cells. 4. Multinucleated inclusion-bearing giant cells. Or 5. Spongiosis and acantholysis. The correct answer is 2. Anti-epidermal transglutaminase IgA in the dermis. This patient is presenting with a history of abdominal pain and diarrhea, likely misdiagnosed celiac disease, and is now presenting after the holidays, a time when new foods, perhaps gluten-containing, were consumed, with a diffuse pruritic rash and a microcytic anemia, which is concerning for a diagnosis of celiac disease and dermatitis herpetiformis. On biopsy, anti-epidermal transglutaminase IgA would be seen in the dermis. Celiac disease occurs due to an autoimmune response to gluten-containing products. Patients will typically present with malabsorption, steatorrhea, bloating, weight loss, and nutritional deficiencies such as a microcytic anemia and a deficiency of fat-soluble vitamins. Antibodies that are found in this condition include anti-endomysial IgA, anti-tissue transglutaminase IgA, and anti-gliadin antibodies. On histology, there will be mucosal inflammation, crypt hyperplasia, villus atrophy, infiltration with lymphocytes and plasma cells, flattening of villi, and hyperplasia of crypts. A common dermatologic complication of celiac disease is dermatitis herpetiformis, which is a pruritic rash that on biopsy demonstrates anti-epidermal transglutaminase IgA in the dermis. Now for the incorrect answers. Answer 1. Acanthosis and a thin granulosum with elongated dermal papillae would be the biopsy findings in psoriasis, which presents with silvery scales on a salmon base with a positive auspice sign, which is punctate bleeding when the scale is removed. The treatment of psoriasis can include corticosteroids, immune modulating therapy such as cyclosporin or azathioprine, and UV light in severe cases. Answer 3. Collections of Langerhans cells are suggestive of contact dermatitis, which occurs after exposure to a certain agent, such as nickel, poison ivy, or poison oak, with intensely pruritic, erythematous, and scaly plaques, vesicles, and bullae. Treatment involves topical steroids or oral steroids for significant exposures. Answer 4. Multinucleated inclusion-bearing giant cells would be seen in varicella or in other herpes virus infections and would present with successive crops of asynchronous lesions with a painful prodrome and a distribution of vesicles in a dermatomal pattern. The treatment is administration of acyclovir. Answer 5. Spongiosis and acantholysis would be seen in atopic dermatitis, which presents in patients with a history of atopic disease, such as eczema, asthma, and seasonal allergies, with a highly pruritic rash in the flexural areas. This is an IgE-mediated reaction and can be treated with emollients, antihistamines, and topical steroids. Now for a quick bullet summary. Anti-epidermal transglutaminase IgA in the dermis can be found on biopsy in dermatitis herpetiformis. Let's try another practice question. A 24-year-old woman presents to her primary care physician with a long-standing history of diarrhea. She reports recurrent, foul-smelling, loose stools and a 35-pound weight loss over the past 3 years. She also states that 2 months ago, she developed an itchy, bumpy rash on her elbows and forearms, which has since resolved. She denies recent camping trips or travel outside the country. On physical exam, she appears thin, her conjunctiva and skin appear pale, and her abdomen is mildly distended. Which of the following tests would confirm this patient's diagnosis? 1. Stool guaiac test. 2. Stool test for ova and parasites. 3. Small bowel endoscopy and biopsy. 4. Serum anti-tissue transglutaminase antibody assay. Or 5. Stool culture. The correct answer is 3. Small bowel endoscopy and biopsy. This patient's presentation is consistent with celiac disease. Small bowel endoscopy with duodenal biopsy would confirm the diagnosis. Celiac disease is a chronic intestinal malabsorption disorder caused by gluten intolerance. The immunologic response to gluten leads to immune complex formation and lymphocyte aggregation, resulting in damage to the intestinal mucosa. While detection of anti-endomysial and anti-tissue transglutaminase or anti-TTG antibodies is suggestive of celiac disease, the diagnosis requires duodenal biopsy showing blunting of intestinal villi, increased intraepithelial lymphocytes, and crypt hyperplasia. Pelkowski and Vieira describe the presentation and management of celiac disease. This disease most commonly presents with chronic diarrhea and weight loss. Dermatitis herpetiformis, an erythematous, pruritic, papulovesicular rash that typically appears on the arms, shoulders, elbows, and knees, is pathognomonic. Iron deficiency anemia is also commonly seen. Management of celiac disease primarily consists of adherence to a gluten-free diet. Patients unresponsive to change in diet may require steroid or other immunosuppressive therapy. Harris et al. Describe how serologic tests are used in evaluating for celiac disease. Testing should be done while patients still have gluten in their diet. Tests for IgA anti-tissue transglutaminase or anti-TTG and IgA anti-endomysial antibodies have a sensitivity and specificity of 85 to 98% and 95 to 97% respectively. Testing for anti-gliadin IgG and IgA has been replaced by the aforementioned more sensitive tests and is not commonly performed. New tests for IgG and IgA antibodies targeting deaminated gliadin peptide or DGP, another immunogenic antigen implicated in celiac disease, are demonstrating even greater sensitivity and specificity, 94% and 99% respectively. Illustration A on medbullets.com shows the characteristic erythematous papulovesicular rash of dermatitis herpetiformis, and illustration B compares normal small intestine histology with small intestine with blunted villi seen in celiac disease. Now let's review the incorrect answers. Answer 1. Occult gastrointestinal bleeding does not commonly occur with celiac disease. This patient's anemia is likely due to iron malabsorption. Answer 2 and 5. An infectious etiology for this patient's diarrhea, while on the differential, is less likely given her presentation. Infectious agents typically cause acute diarrhea, less than 15 days, and are associated with fever. Infectious agents causing chronic diarrhea, more than 30 days, usually occur in individuals who are immunosuppressed or on long-term antibiotics. Stool culture is recommended for evaluating immunocompromised individuals or those with severe diarrhea, especially in the setting of inflammatory bowel disease. Testing for ova and parasites is recommended with persistent diarrhea in individuals with a history of drinking potentially unclean water or traveling to mountainous regions or outside the country. Answer 4. While the presence of anti-tissue transglutaminase antibodies is highly suggestive of celiac disease, only duodenal biopsy can confirm the diagnosis. And with those practice questions, we wrap up today's discussion of celiac disease.
Hopefully that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session by MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. Keep in mind that you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing these topics directly on medbullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or mobile app while reading through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the MedBullets podcast thus far, we'd appreciate your consideration in leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It'll help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.